In one corner of Randolph's office sat a big slab of rock, like a tombstone, the front chiseled and painted with elaborate red swirly designs. In the center was a crude drawing of a snarling beast, maybe a lion or a wolf. I shuddered. Let's not think about wolves. I approached Randolph's desk. I'd been hoping for a computer or a notepad with helpful information. Anything to explain why they were looking for me. Instead, spread across the desk were pieces of parchment, as thin and yellow as onion skin. They looked like maps a school kid in medieval times had made for social studies. Faint sketches of a coastline, various points labeled an alphabet I didn't know. Sitting on top of them, like a paperweight, was a leather pouch. My breath caught. I recognized that pouch. I untied the drawstring and grabbed one of the dominoes, except it wasn't a domino. My 6-year-old self had assumed that's what Annabeth had been playing with. Over the years, the memory had reinforced itself, but instead of dots, these stones were painted with red symbols. The one in my hand was shaped like a tree branch or a deformed letter F. My heart pounded. I wasn't sure why. I wondered if coming here had been such a good idea. The walls felt like they were closing in. On the big rock in the corner, the drawing of the beast seemed to sneer at me, its red outline glistening like fresh blood. I moved to the window. I thought it might help to look outside. Along the corner of the avenue stretched the Commonwealth Mall, a ribbon of parkland covered in snow. The bare trees were strung with white Christmas lights. At the end of the block, inside an iron fence, the bronze statue of Leif Erikson stood on his pedestal, his hand cupped over his eyes. Leif gazed towards the Charlesgate overpass as if to say, "Look, I discovered a highway." My mom and I used to joke about Leif. His armor was on the skimpy side, a short skirt and a breastplate that looked like a Viking bra. I had no idea why that statue was in the middle of Boston, but I figured it couldn't be a coincidence that Uncle Randolph grew up to study Vikings. He'd lived here his whole life. He'd probably looked at Leif every day out that window. Maybe as a child, Randolph had thought, "Someday, I want to study Vikings. Men who wear metal bras are cool." My eyes drifted to the base of the statue. Somebody was standing there, looking up at me. You know how when you see somebody out of context and it takes you a second to recognize them? In Leif Erikson's shadow stood a tall, pale man in a black leather jacket, black motorcycle pants, and pointy-toed boots. His short, spiky hair was so blonde it was almost white. His only dash of color was a striped red and white scarf wrapped around his neck and spilling off his shoulders like a melted candy cane. If I didn't know him, I might have guessed he was cosplaying some anime character, but I did know him. It was Hearth, my fellow homeless dude and surrogate mom. I was a little creeped out and a little offended. Had he seen me on the street and followed me? I didn't need some fairy god stalker looking after me. I spread my hands. "What are you doing here?" Hearth made a gesture like he was plucking something from his cupped hands and throwing it away. After 2 years of hanging around him, I was getting pretty good at reading his sign language. He was saying, "Get out." He didn't look alarmed, but it was hard to tell with Hearth. He never showed much emotion. Whenever we hung out, he mostly just stared at me through those pale gray eyes like he was waiting for me to explode. I lost valuable seconds trying to figure out what he meant and why he was here when he was supposed to be in Copley Square. He gestured again, both hands pointing forward with two fingers, dipping up and down twice. "Hurry!" "Why?" I said aloud. Behind me, a deep voice said, "Hello, Magnus." I nearly jumped out of my shoes. Standing in the library doorway was a barrel-chested man with a trim white beard and skullcap of gray hair. He wore a beige cashmere overcoat over a dark wool suit. His gloved hands gripped the handle of a polished wooden cane with an iron tip. Last time I'd seen him, his hair had been black, but I knew that voice. "Randolph?" He inclined his head a millimeter. "What a pleasant surprise. I'm glad you're here." He sounded neither surprised nor glad. "We don't have much time." The food and milk started to churn in my stomach. Much time before what? His brow furrowed. His nose wrinkled as if he detected a mildly unpleasant odor. "You're 16 today, aren't you? They'll be coming to kill you."